Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio. We're broadcasting from the Morton Studio on a Farmer Friday. Our phone lines will be open throughout the whole show. 844-44-AG-PHD if you have an agronomic question or a topic you'd like to discuss. You can also email us radio@agphd. I'm Darren Hefty along with my brother Brian today, and we've got a number of questions that have already come in anticipation of Farmer Friday, and look forward to answering your calls along the way too.
Yeah, so that's radio@agphd.com if you would like to send us in a question, soil test, herbicide recommendation, whatever it is you're looking for. Just to start things off today, I will just say on our own farm, I'll give you a little update of what's going on with us. So we planted all our grain corn the other day, and so that got done a week ago. Our first plant date for crop insurance here for corn is April 10th. We're big believers in putting the corn in the ground as soon as we can. That's typically when we get the best yield. Now, silage, a little different story. The dairy that we're working with, they care about tonnage, and we're getting paid by tonnage. They want tonnage, not yield. Now, granted, they want grain along with it, but their number one thing is tonnage. Well, we can get more tonnage by planting later. We can also put more gibberellic acid on the plant, and that helps get more tonnage, but we just can't overcome the cold temps that we have with gibberellic acid alone. So here's what I'm saying. On our farm, we plant the grain corn first, got done with that last week, and then we plant soybeans as soon as we possibly can, which our first crop insurance date is a week from today, so we'll be planting, hopefully, a week from today, as long as it's not raining. And then as soon as soybeans are done, then we'll look at starting planting our silage corn. It'll be sometime in early May. So just a little bit different than what we are typically talking about here in the show, which is yield, yield, yield. It's really hard to change from that. But if somebody wants to pay us for something else, namely tonnage in this case, well, I guess we can do that too. We just have to adjust a little bit. As far as silage corn goes, Darren and I were talking about this just a little bit yesterday. We don't spend, in my opinion, enough time probably talking about silage and manure. Those are really big things everywhere. And I know one of the things that a lot of people ask about all the time, it comes back to salt. Just keep in mind that if you're going to put fertility out there, you are going to apply salt. Fertilizer, by very definition, is salt. Anytime you have an anion together with a cation, well, you've got a salt. So whether it's commercial fertilizer, you want to put manure out, that's got salt in it. You want to put compost out, I don't care what you're using, it's going to be salt. So that's part of the challenge is, just think of what our yields have done in the last 20 years. They just keep going up, up, up. Well, that means we need more fertility. What does that mean? That means we have to put more salt out there. So it's just, how are you going to do that? You got to be a little careful, especially when you have drier weather conditions, which we've had the last 3 years. And on top of that, I just say the closer you put all this salt out there to when you're going to plant, the seed and that young seedling, they're sensitive, especially when we start talking about soybeans. Soybeans are more sensitive than corn. Corn's more sensitive than wheat. But anyway, I mean, seeds and young seedlings, they're sensitive. We just have to be careful with them. So anyway, yeah, lots of things going on, lots of things to think about at this time of year. And with that, let's get to what some of our listeners are thinking about in the Ag PhD mailbag.
It's the mailbag!
All right, now one thing they're thinking about is getting fertilizer applied. This question comes in from Greg up in British Columbia. Greg said, I'm going to put out alfalfa and grass for a hay field, and I haven't fertilized in quite a few years. I'm going to put 200 pounds out there of a 13-13-13 with 11 sulfur and 0.4 boron.
Okay. So is there a question with this?
Well, what do you think? Is he missing anything? I mean, to me, the PNK looks so low that I think I'd focus on the NPK and sulfur a lot. I mean, obviously the boron's low. The zinc is low too, but that's not my biggest concern
okay.
to start with.
All right. Yeah, let's talk about the major nutrients. Phosphorus, we're less than 10 parts per million. potassium were less than, let's see, I can't see if that's an 87 or a 67. Either way, we'll just call it less than 100 parts per million, and it's nowhere near even 2% base saturation K. So just a couple of things about this. First of all, you can't even come close to raising the crop you're expecting with that low of fertility out there. So yes, you need a lot of P and K, not a little, but a lot. I understand, you know, we all have budgets and things like that we got to work with, but you just got to put more P and K out there. Otherwise, the crop's not going to do well. Now, he mentioned sulfur and boron. That's a good idea because both the sulfur and boron are also at incredibly low levels, almost non-existent. Zinc is another thing we talk about often here on the show. Usually we want that roughly, and it doesn't have to be exactly this, but roughly 10 to 1. So like he's got a Bray P1 phosphorus, and then he's got a zinc, and we want that Bray P1 phosphorus to be roughly 10 times what the zinc is. Or flip that around, whatever you're going to build that phosphorus level to, divide by 10, and we would want the zinc to be roughly that. So it all depends on where you want to go, but let's just say, like on my farm, I want my P1 phosphorus to be 50 to maybe 100, which means I want my zinc 5 to 10. So over time, that would be another thing for you to consider. So yeah, I mean, those are really the main things. I just also want to say this. This is the reason why we like seeing soil tests on a fairly regular basis. These things don't happen overnight. The phosphorus level didn't get that low overnight. Potassium didn't get that low overnight. I mean, you keep pulling crop off, and if you aren't paying close attention to it, and I'm not saying he was or wasn't or anything else. I'm just saying as a general statement, even on our farm, I'll give our farm as an example. If we aren't paying pretty close attention, sometimes we get caught in, oh, we had some amazing yields and pulled off way more fertility than I thought. And all of a sudden, I look at my soil test and I go, whoa, I got to put a bunch of fertilizer out here. So anyway, I just always encourage you, take a look at the soil test and make sure you're fertilizing for the crop goals you have on your farm. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Warning, high yields incoming. Upgrading your planter with Germinator closing wheels can increase your corn yields by 13 bushels in no-till and 7 bushels in conventional. Are your bins ready? Call Farm Shop MFG at 712-520-6051.
Tame tough weeds with a pre-plant application of Revitan, a powerful burn-down herbicide. Revitan drops the hammer on more than 50 species of tough weeds with great tank mix compatibility and low use rates. Learn more at helmcrop.com/Revitan. Always read and follow label directions.
Weeds rob you of yield potential, so rob them of the chance to grow with powerful corn herbicide solutions from Corteva Agriscience. Weeds won't know what hit them, but you will, because you can count on proven top herbicides like Resicor or SureStart 2 or the new game-changing herbicide Cairo to effectively control weeds. That way, you spend less time worrying about unwanted yield-robbing weeds and have more time to power on with your day. Learn more at PowerOverWeeds.com.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Don't get caught off guard in 2024. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
Nothing but net. Win your soybean season with the fast knockdown and lasting broad spectrum control of Elevest Insect Control from FMC. Take on armyworms, stink bugs, soybean loopers, and more with the maximized ratio of premier active ingredients for better overall control of more than 40 labeled pests. Visit your FMC retailer or elevest.ag.fmc.com to up your game this season. Always read and follow all label directions.
It's Farmer Friday on Ag PhD Radio. We'd love to hear what's going on your farm and help you with any questions you may have. Our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD. Or you can always email us, radio@agphd.com. Start off in Ontario, Canada. Got John with us right now. How you doing, John?
Not bad, thank you. Yourself?
you know what? We got a little bit of corn in the ground, so we're feeling pretty good. You get a little bit of corn in, and it takes a little bit of that edge off where you feel like you have to do something. Well, we've done something. So now we're just sitting and waiting for things to dry back out. How about you?
We're a bit saturated. We were drier in the beginning of March than we are now, so we've been getting spurts of rain. We have the nitrate on the wheat. We had that completed 10 days ago. It was really fit then, but now we're in a little wet period, I guess. So just getting everything calibrated. Got it all completed this morning and had more time, so I recalibrated everything again just to try and make sure everything's just right. So
sure.
But field conditions would have been good, but we were just cold yet. So, but no, everything's rolling around pretty good. I mean, we're not wet, but we're a week away yet, I think.
Sure, sure. You know, that rain here, which we haven't had since 2020, really, in sufficient quantities, it really greened everything up. I mean, stuff looks good. The trees are starting to throw some leaves and that kind of thing. We got a frost warning tonight, but after that, I think it looks a little better.
We have that Sunday morning frost warning. But,
sorry about that. I think we're sending it your way.
Yeah. Have you guys ever did any testing with these hypersound or the seed magnetizing thing? Have you ever done any of this or have you heard about it?
Heard a little bit, but haven't done any testing. Are you just thinking about it or have you already been working on it a little bit?
No, we're going to do some testing this year. So we're going to do some units with and without. And no, I just was curious if that's anything you guys tried or heard about. Or
No.
Maybe I have the name wrong, but so, yeah.
Now, I had a farmer that was starting to work on that. He didn't have a lot of results yet, but he was telling me about it this last fall. But outside of that, I haven't really done much. I said, well, you do another year of testing and then let me know what you find out. And I'd say the same to you. Let us know if you find out something good.
Yeah, no, a farmer I know from the area has been using it for 1 year and then his second, so it'd be my first. So he said he'd do some of my units to try it. And yeah, it's always good to do some testing. See what's out there.
Well, I think it's good to compare.
That's on our team. That's on our game plan this year.
Sure,
so.
Sure. Yeah, it's good to compare notes with other farmers too. It spreads the risk out a little bit, and then also you get a lot of different situations that you can compare new technologies in.
Yeah. But that's about all we're doing. We don't use any biologicals yet. I haven't tried anything, but always willing to look at something. But let's watch some people try it. Yeah, but we're right now, interrogator's ready, sprayer was ready, and just itching to go, but we're just not right there yet. So another weekend off for sure.
Yep. You said you got nitrate out on the wheat. What does wheat look like?
Very good. Very good. Very even stand. It was planted in good conditions last fall. It's earlier. I don't think with the weather forecast that we'll be able to get a herbicide on it. We did do some walking, didn't see anything. But just too wet by the time I think we'll get in there. It'll be too wet. But we try to do a burn down roundup before we plant the wheat in the fall. So try to start clean. So, and it looks good. So, nope, very good stand. Some wheat didn't get any nitrogen on it yet. They waited. It's got quite a bit of yellowing in it. Starting to see tile drain runs on it a bit, in the saturated soils.
Yep.
But otherwise, no, very good even stands. Yep, wheat will kill seven times yet before we harvest it.
Yeah,
modern.
Well, I'm happy you guys have got some moisture up there. It's inconvenient when you want to be planting, but at least you're going to start with some moisture in the soil and get everything off to a good run. Well, good luck to you guys, John. Stay safe. I know it's going to get crazy here coming up soon.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You bet. You too. Let's head over to northern North Dakota. Got Jeff with us right now. How's it going, Jeff?
Oh, not too bad there.
Well, I've been watching some kind of white-looking clouds heading across North Dakota. You didn't get hit by any of that white stuff, did you?
It is snowing here right now.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's not accumulating. It's melting, but it's snowing. It's like 30 degrees. So last weekend we were in 70 degrees, and now we're 30 degrees. So
yeah, welcome to April.
I'll take it.
Oh, go ahead.
I'll take it over the last 2 years. We've had two snowstorms the last 2 years where we haven't gotten started until almost the end of May. So I'll gladly take having no snow on the ground right now.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got frost warnings down here, but nothing, no white flakes flying in the air. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So what's up next? As soon as this all blows through and it goes back to being 70 degrees, what's your next operation you got to take care of?
We're going to start probably strip tilling for our corn this year. We haven't done that the last 2 years just because of, like I said, the late spring. So we're actually right now working on our strip tiller in the shop and going to get that probably running beginning of the middle of next week. Just started getting that stuff strip tilled so that we got a little time before we start seeding into the strips.
Yeah, that was my follow-up question, is how much time do you wait? Do you have kind of a, hey, we got to give it at least this long to kind of settle back down, or have you had some experience getting out there fairly quickly?
If we use anhydrous mainly as our main source, and we do put 15 gallons of 28 and 5 gallons of ATS down with our planter, even when we do the strips. But so we'll try to wait at least 10 to 14 days before we put the planter into the strips, just because we want to let the anhydrous go through its process so it's not so hot when on the seed in that area. Even though we try to go 6 inches deep, we do want to take some time and let it go through its nitrification cycle there that it has to do.
Sure. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the corn responds. I sure love strip till underneath corn. What about sunflowers? Have you tried it at all with the sunflowers?
We did 1 year. We had some really nice looking sunflowers, and then it got hailed out. Got completely annihilated. So we haven't done it other than that. We did 1 year, and that's it. We do a lot of our sunflowers go in between our corn stalk rows.
Okay.
So we'll just offset the planter 15 inches. But we, since we're going to, we've started the last year and this year we're doing it again, where we put down we're putting down Sonalan. So we go out and spread our urea on Sonalan, and then we'll use we have a double Colter Harrow from Gates Manufacturing that we use to incorporate it. So then we'll come in between the rows. So with us going that way, we've felt that we need to put the urea down as a carrier to help distribute the Sonalan a little bit better through the boom system that we have on our sulfur spreader that we use. So we've gone away from pretty much liquid on the planter for our sunflowers. So we're pretty much straight urea on all our sunflower ground now.
Okay, and then the other crop, soybeans. Talk to us about soybeans a little bit. Northern North Dakota, when do you feel comfortable starting to put beans out there, and what are your little tricks and tips there?
So we will, if we can, we grow up to an 03 bean. So we've had really good luck with them in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years of running an 03 bean in our area. That's been our best bean yield wise, but you're also running the risk of having, if you get an early spring or early fall, you run into the green bean issue. So we'll try to get those beans seeded before the May 20th. So if we can, we will go out as early as May 10th, if the conditions are right, and get going early on them. We do put some 1034 fertilizer down with our seed, just because we put a liquid inoculant in there.
Sure.
But we run a 2 gallon of water, 3 gallon of 1034, and then we run our inoculant through a Dosatron. So we've found over the years, when we used to run a planter, now we run one of those 1990 CCS drills is what we use now for beans. But we learned that, we figured that system out years ago with our planter. That was the only way you could double inoculate. Even though we've had histories of beans up here, almost every one of our fields has had beans on it.
Sure.
We still like to double inoculate.
Yeah,
we've had it where we haven't had good nodulation on the seed, and we've had issues. So we'd like to double inoculate.
Yeah, I think that's a good strategy. I was curious about the bean thing, because I know guys are pushing maturities up in your part of the world too. So just curious how it's working. Hey, Jeff, we got to run, but thank you so much. Really appreciate hearing from you, and good luck on your strip till coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Farmer Amaranth. 4 counts of yield theft, resistance to groups 2, 4, 9.
You ain't got nothing on me, man.
We've been surveilling you. And now we've got Tough 5EC, a tank mix partner that'll make sure you and your gang of resistant weeds never see the daylight again.
Crack down on repeat offenders. Add Tough 5EC to your post-emergence tank mix. Learn more at toughonweeds.com. Always read and follow label directions. Tough is a registered trademark of Belsham Crop Protection.
Get uniform control in your fields with trusted, hardworking Lucento fungicide. Control the toughest diseases with a dual mode of action fungicide that consistently outperforms the competition in field trials. Lucento fungicide from FMC works overtime for lasting control to help improve crop yields. Talk about getting the job done. Visit your FMC retailer or lucento.ag.fmc.com for hardworking control in your fields. Always read and follow all label directions.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from agronomy manager Nate Honeck.
We've seen tremendous weed control that was sprayed in dry, hot conditions with very little rain within 2 weeks after application. Very easy application. Definitely tank mix well with the various products we used.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Every season, you're collecting yield data on virtually every acre of your farm. But what good is your data if you never use it? Put it to work with Verify. Verify takes yield data directly from your combine and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, ensuring your crops get what they need, right where they need it, no matter what equipment you run. Go to verify.com to find an expert to help you get started. That's VRAFY.com.
Because the challenges you face are getting bigger every year, BASF is committed to helping with more than boots on the ground. We're committed to boots in the mud, boots on the steps of your truck, your tractor, your combine, the linoleum tiles of your coffee shop, the concrete of your co-op, the gravel in your shed. So we can listen, learn firsthand, help right now to ensure success. BASF, helping you do the biggest job on earth.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Listening to Ag PhD Radio, and it's a Farmer Friday. That means our phone lines are open throughout the show for your calls and agronomic questions or just agronomic discussion. 844-44-AG-PHD is that number, or you can always email us radio@agphd.com. Got Jason on with us right now down in the state of Iowa. How's it going, Jason?
Good. How are you guys today?
Good, good, good. All right, so talk to me about what's happened in the field in your area. Have you guys been out there already? And if so, have you gotten much done?
Yeah, we had a little activity last week and weekend, but now we're currently rained out. So we got about half of our corn planted in pretty good conditions, and I got all the corn acres sprayed, so that was nice to check off the list.
Yeah.
And some people were kind of sitting on the sidelines waiting because it's colder temperatures, but thankfully it's nothing too severe yet.
Yeah, but it's good to have all that spraying done too. That seems to be the thing that can be pretty tricky to find a day that it's not windy and everything else. Plus, you actually got pretty decent weather at the end of last week.
Yeah, it was in the low 80s for two days in a row, so ground temps were at least good for several days there. It's only going to dip below 50 here this weekend, but then hopefully next week turns around for us and we can keep going at some point.
Absolutely. So do you roll right into soybeans from corn? Do you take some time off in between? What's the strategy you guys use?
So we've always liked planting corn first. If I'm going to plant beans first, I want it to be a chiseled field, and anymore I don't like chiseling fields in the fall. I really like running a VT over the corn stalks in the fall and then just planting into that into the spring, you know, no tilling, and that works out really well. So in general, you know, field cultivating fields first for corn is what I prefer doing. So
sure. Fertility work, did that all get done in the fall? I know a lot of guys said, man, we had an amazing fall. We got all that stuff taken care of. But other guys caught some rains here and there and didn't get it done or just didn't want to do it in the fall. What do you guys do on fertility?
Yeah, we like getting it done in the fall. Even our anhydrous, we're heavy on anhydrous. So we got that done. The co-op spread all our dry fertilizer. So that's always nice to get done. Because normally, typically in the spring, there's just not much time. We get antsy and we like to plant first. So,
yep, I agree with you. I like to get going on that too. And now you caught the rain. We caught the rain as well, and things have really greened up here. I'm assuming it's the same down there. Are you seeing a few weeds getting started yet, or are the fields still pretty bare?
Our fields are in general pretty good shape. There's some fields, if you didn't put on a fall, burn down or residual, that they're getting, it almost looks like a cover crop, unfortunately. So yeah, there's a little bit of that, not terrible yet, but this is the first fall we had some, the co-op do some spraying for us. We didn't do everything, but that kind of helped with our spraying, being a little more timely. And it kept things clean on our end anyway.
Sure.
So
yeah, there's been more of that in our part of the world too, a lot more fall spraying, and yeah, those fields look really good right now. Okay, Jason, last question for you. What are you most excited about this year? Is there a trial or something new that you're trying out, or a new piece of equipment that you're excited to run?
Nothing quite new. I mean, we just continue to keep tiling, whenever we can. We had a really good fall and off and on in the winter tiling, so drainage tile is by far our number one, ROI, and we just keep doing that when we can. No trials. I try on one field to push fertility, get some higher P and K levels, because most of ours are on the average or low end. So I'm trying a few things like that every year, and that's just a trial and error.
Sure. Sure. Well, you sounded just like my brother there. I'm most excited we got some more drain tile in the ground, and I get it. I'm excited about that too. It's, in fact, some of it already ran just a little bit with these spring rains, which really surprised me.
Yep. We bought a piece of ground the March before, and so then this fall we did a lot of tiling. That was the biggest project we have to date. 2 15-inch tile mains run up and down a waterway. So we couldn't do that ourselves. We do a lot ourselves, but we don't do that big a tile. So that was a really good thing to get done last fall.
Oh, yeah.
And off of our list.
Yeah, that is awesome. Well, congratulations. That's a big deal, and will be for the rest of your farming career. So that's kind of fun. I agree with you. That is a really good thing. Hey, Jason, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on. I know it's going to dry out soon. You guys are going to get rolling. So good luck to you and stay safe.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Darren, one thing that you had said a little bit earlier was when we had the call from North Dakota and there was some snow, you go, oh no, actually, I would love to have just a little bit of snow. I'd rather have the snow than rain. And you might say, what? What's going on? Look, when we have snow, we almost never have erosion. What we have is it's coming down lightly. Even if it is a heavy snow, it's fine. It's not running off the field immediately. It lands. We don't create as much compaction. We get granted, this is minuscule, but a tiny little bit of nitrogen out of the atmosphere. Very often when we have planted corn and had snow on top of it, whether it was an inch or 12 inches, our corn yield's been great. So I actually like a little bit of snow. Now, granted, I want to be able to plant more very soon, so I want that snow gone quickly. But I was just going to make a comment. I don't mind a little bit of snow at this time of year.
All right. We got Todd with us in Wisconsin right now. Todd, I bet you don't want to see any snow, do you?
No, not really.
I'm going to ask somebody in Wisconsin next. He's going to for sure say no.
It's actually the few flurries flying out. We just got done cleaning all the pens out with manure, there's a few flurries, but it's cold and blustery today, but it'll be better by the weekend.
Yeah, but better stuff's coming. It's mid to late April here. It's going to turn around for us real soon. Have guys been out in the field yet in your part of the world?
Yeah, all the sand. I mean, sandy soil. They've been stirring around doing a lot of manure applications. We actually got all our alfalfa seeded down here last weekend, and some of the guys that actually seeded at the end of March, their oats and alfalfa are all up and it's green. So it's coming along.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, that's kind of nice to have that stuff out there for us. The alfalfa last year ended up being our most profitable crop. How about for you? Has that been one that you just always have in the rotation, or is it one that you're putting some more acres in because it's making you more money?
Well, no, not really. I have about 600 acres of alfalfa seeded under center pivot irrigation that I sell to a 6,000 cow dairy.
Okay.
And so, and then the rest of our land, we just corn and beans, but we need a little beef cow feed. So we do like 15 to 20 acres. I want more cabin time than I want to be making hay all.
That's exactly right. I understand that. Hey, talk to us about that irrigated alfalfa. What is the cutting schedule like then when you know you can control the water? Are you on a certain amount of days that they're cutting? And then is it something where they're just taking haylage, or do they bale things up?
No, this is strictly for high quality alfalfa. And so they really don't try to worry about tonnage. They cut it every, I believe, 25 to 27 days. And I think they use that, low lignin alfalfa, just in case it rains. I forget what they carve extra type stuff.
Yep.
And, but they're very adamant about 25 to 27 day cut window.
Sure. Sure. Yep. Yep.
And you pour the water to her.
Well, that's kind of a nice thing to have under pivot then too. With the corn that goes in your area, I would assume there are a few guys that have gotten started, but when does it really kind of kick in? Is next week what you're hoping for?
Well, my brother who works for Case IH, they've been getting all the new planters ready, and he said most of the guys are going to try to go a little bit next week and just make sure all the bugs are worked out. Us, we've got all heavy ground left, so we'll probably wait on the corn and just probably try to put some soybeans in. We want to get our contest soybean field in just to say that we had it planted in April and see how that goes and make sure everything works and then just wait for a little bit. Most time people get started about May 1st.
You bet. Well, it's coming up quick and lots of stuff to get done. Glad you got all those pens cleaned out. I'm sure the animals are super happy about that too. Hey, stay safe and good luck to you guys, Todd, as you get started this spring.
You bet. You guys have a good day. Thank you.
You bet. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready for better efficiency, more productivity, higher yields? Then you're ready for John Deere Precision Technology, which starts with three core pieces. First, a G5 display gives fast views of your work and a window to future technology. A Starfire receiver gives you sub-inch repeatable accuracy without an RTK base station. And a JD Link modem gives you a live view of your entire operation. Get precise and talk with your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/Facebook.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit MyBayerPlus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from farmer Rob Schaefer.
Residuals have become a big part of our chemical programs with trying to battle water hemp, and also mare's tail is our big one. It's done a real good job of controlling those. You don't have to, you know, put a bunch of gallons in your sprayer, cover a lot of acres that way.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Your farm's greatest challenge is making sure your crop has enough fertility to reach its yield goals. But how do you know if you're applying too much of any one nutrient? Fine-tune your fertility plan with Verify. Your combine collects hundreds of yield data points per acre. Verify takes that data and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, so you can be confident you're not over-applying. Get started today at verify.com. That's VRAFY.com.
Morton Buildings has served the American farmer for more than 120 years.
From manufacturing our own building components to constructing your building, Morton takes pride in being the industry leader in post-frame construction by providing a quality building and exceptional customer service. A Morton is built to last for generations. To get started on your next project, please visit MortonBuildings.com.
The hard-working, independent spirit of rural America can often be isolating. It's not often discussed, but mental health issues are real. Now's the time to lead by example, talk openly, and show that a strong mind is just as important as a strong body. FMC is proud to be working toward ending the misconceptions around mental health through awareness, guidance, and action. Together, we can uproot the stigma.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. It is a Farmer Friday, and our phone lines are open. If you have an agronomic topic or question you'd like to discuss, it's 844-44-AG-PHD. Let's head out to Colorado. We've got Terry with us right now. How's it going, Terry?
Oh, pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we got some rain, Terry, so we're kind of happy right now. I don't know how you guys are turning out there for moisture.
Tell you the truth, most of ours have come as snow, and we're expecting snow again tonight.
Well, Brian was just saying that he would love to have a little bit of snow. He'd rather have the moisture come as snow than as rain.
No, I didn't say I would love to have
snow. I hope it all lands on his driveway, Terry. That's what I want.
When it's happened before, our corn's turned out pretty good, so I can't complain too much.
Well, to tell you the truth, that's what I'm thinking about planting this year. For the last decade, the moisture has been coming at a different time than it ever has. And we need to try something new. Doggone wheat ain't standing up.
Yeah, it's so tough to guess from year to year what it's going to do. And I know a lot of folks end up planting a bunch of different crops. And I think that's normally the case, right? How many crops do you normally have on your farm? Do you have three or four different crops?
No. Well, we've got the smooth brome, alfalfa, and wheat. And it has not been good for the wheat for the last 4 years. I thought this year was going to be great, and it turns out not. We had good snow early this winter. Late fall last year was not good. We didn't get anything. The wheat came up because we had moisture beforehand, and we never got any continuation on the moisture. And then this spring, the winds come up. We had 100-mile-an-hour winds, and it blew out or blew off what wheat was coming up. And what it's looking like right now, we're going to be turning it in for insurance again.
Yeah, that is no fun. I know we talk about putting corn in here, and we advise guys put it in good conditions because it's only fun and profitable to plant it the first time, and it's certainly not profitable to spend all that time, energy, and money putting in a winter wheat crop and then having to talk to insurance. Well, Terry, hopefully things go better. Hopefully you catch some timely rains this year. That'd be nice. Do you have much irrigation in your part of Colorado?
We do, and it looks like we're going to do pretty good on irrigation this year, and that's part of the reason that looking at growing corn as one thing, and then a couple other crops we've been looking at. One looked like it would do us okay, and it's a cooking oil, saffron.
Okay.
Until I found out that the cows couldn't eat it. So that kind of squelched that idea.
Yeah, it's interesting when you have the option of having some water out there, you get other things that a guy can do. Because I know you guys can raise some pretty good corn. What have you raised in the past for yields in your part of the world?
The corn, when we've raised corn in the past, Pop always fed it to the hogs. We're not raising hogs now, so I was going to grow all that peaches and cream corn, or that's what I was going to try.
Oh, interesting.
I wasn't going to put in all that much. There's enough of a farmer's market around here because we've got two areas that have fairly large population densities. Colorado Springs is one.
Yep.
And the farmers market up there, and then the local grocery stores to us.
Nice.
You know, and making it available there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good luck on that. That's pretty cool. We had a question come in yesterday from someone in Hawaii that's raising sweet corn for the local farmers markets. And yeah, he'd gotten to the point where he was planting a little bit each week to try to spread out when stuff was going to be ready to try to do that. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. That's pretty tasty stuff. Hopefully it works out great for you, Terry.
I hadn't thought about that, but I might. Well, I take it back. I can't. My termination date for anything is August. And the reason being is Papa wants to continue with the wheat.
Gotcha.
And if we do, in order to make it available for insurance and stuff, we have to terminate 60 days before the final planting date. So that we can continue to get insurance on the wheat crop.
Okay. All these little tricky things that you have to do to raise a variety of different crops. Well, Terry, good luck to you guys. Hopefully the weather turns out in your favor this year, and you get some profitable sweet corn as well.
Well, I'd just be happy if spraying goes well, goes good this year, and get rid of some of these pesky darn weeds.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You share my passion for weed control. I don't like seeing them either. Well, Terry, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on. Hey, we're going to jump over to Ontario now. We got David with us with a report on what's going on up there. How you doing, David?
Hi, good. Very good. Thank you. Hope all is well with you.
Yeah, it's going good. Going good. Got a couple of days off here with some wet soils and hopefully be back in next week.
Yeah, well, here, same thing as the other gentleman said that you were talking to. We've had quite a lot of rain here in Ontario, and today was a good day. We went up to for lunch, an open house of a dealer that just built a big new shop and everything like that, so it gave us a little bit of a break today.
Yeah.
So it was good.
So what's the mood of everybody in your area? Are they all pretty excited about this year, or conditions tough, or what are people thinking?
Well, like for us, we're in the horse and hay business, and we've been doing this for 25 years or so. And we farm about 400 acres of hay, and then we look after doing custom work for other people. Plus we run a horse farm, a stallion farm. So, you know, but we also, you know, with our hay crop and stuff like that, we had to tear up about 100 acres last year. So we've got about 100 acres of beans we're going to do this year into the ground and everything like that. And, you know, like everybody else, fall in the news, we're like beans and things like that. We've sold about what we estimate about 70% of our crop for next year already, and hoping for a good hay year. Last year was a terrible year. It really stressed us all out because we had so much rain up here where we are.
Yeah, that is not fun. Well, and that's the problem too. It seems like about every time you cut the hay, that's when the next rain is coming. So it gets to be quite a challenge.
Yeah, well, last year, like for us, we grow for the horse market, and you know, we really try to do a good job at what we do. And up here, normally we get started in the middle of June, and try to get first cut done by the middle of July. And last year, we didn't get first cut done until the middle of August last year. So we were doing first cut and second cut at the same time, you know, picking different farms. Different people will take different qualities of hay and things like that. And
sure.
we had 40 acres that had gotten too much, you know, way, way too mature. And we just cut it. And luckily, I know a farmer that has a contract with a mushroom farm, and we were able to sell him the hay to him to come in and bale it and sell it to the mushroom guys. You don't get rich at that, but you do cover some of your costs because we have fertilizer and things like that into it. So
sure. Yep. Yeah. Lots of different uses. I know what you mean. The horse guys are usually pretty fussy about exactly what they're getting, especially when you're buying it one bale at a time, that kind of thing. So you have a stallion farm also. How many head do you have?
So we stand up here in the East Coast here. We have standard bred racehorses, and if you don't know what they are. They're the horses that have what they call the sulkies or the race bikes behind them. It's a big sport in the East Coast and in Ontario, but also in Indiana, Illinois, and things like that. So we have a stallion farm where we look after stallions for clients, and we stand 8 stallions, and we'll breed somewhere around 800 mares this year.
Oh, wow.
But it's all shipped semen and things like that. Everything goes gets shipped out. Our farm here, we'll run anywhere from 60 to 100 head of horses here through the breeding season. And then like ourselves, we have 25 to 30 brood mares.
Oh my goodness, Dave. You guys are busy with all that hay to put up too. Man, and no doubt about it that the rain would get pretty stressful in an awful hurry. Hey, David, we got to run. Really appreciate the update. It's really cool hearing about what you guys are doing. Good luck to you heading into this spring. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you look close enough, you can see the hidden potential within your fields. That's why an AgroLiquid nutrition plan starts with the crop and identifies the precise combination of primary nutrients while focusing on the support of secondary and micronutrients. So every nutrient is working in harmony for your crop to reach its full potential, maximizing growth while offering lower use rates. Apply less, expect more, precisely. Find an AgroLiquid dealer at agroliquid.com.
Farming comes with trade-offs. An extra pass means dinner in the cab. An early morning becomes a late night. Unnecessary restrictions turn into headaches. But when you make Enlist herbicides the foundation of your herbicide program, the trade-offs will be in your favor. Effective weed control that's ready to work when you are. Flexible tank mix options and neighbor-friendly applications. All without the need to jump through hoops. See what you'll gain with America's most trusted herbicide system protecting your Enlist E3 soybean fields at Enlist.com.
Here at Ag PhD, we're always looking for ways to support the next generation in the ag industry. That's why at our free Ag PhD Scouting and Scholarships event on Saturday, June 29th, we're giving away more than 100 college scholarships. Join us as we head into the field for hands-on sessions covering everything from how to pull soil and tissue samples, ways to improve crop health, the importance of microbiology in farming, and much more. Plus, in our comprehensive guide to crop scouting, we'll explore both above and below ground in a variety of crops as we diagnose problems with insects, weeds, diseases, and anything else we may find. As we're giving away tens of thousands of dollars in scholarships to eligible attendees, this day is geared more towards students and young farmers, but anyone with a desire to learn more about agronomy is more than welcome. So whether you're a college student or just want good agronomy information, this is one event you won't want to miss. Come to the Ag PhD Scouting and Scholarships Day, Saturday, June 29th on the Hefty Farm near Baltic, South Dakota. Learn more and register at agphd.com.
Save plenty of green on select John Deere compact utility tractors during the Go Green Save Green event at C&B. Payments start as low as $253 per month. Visit DeereEquipment.com. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Get more durability for less downtime with Soil Warrior Strip Tillage from Environmental Tillage Systems. Improve fertilizer efficiency and reduce passes and fuel usage. Now that's ROI. Learn more about ETS at SoilWarrior.com.
My mom's got a new Case IH tractor, and it can do it all. Bale hay all day. See in the dark with its powerful LED lights. Hook up all the implements. Ship like a race car. Steer with ease. And it can also cool my juice box. Yeah, her Case IH tractor can do everything she needs it to.
Looking for a tractor that can do it all? Check out CaseIH.com.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio here on a Farmer Friday. I'm Brian Hefty along with my brother Darren. We're live in the Morton studio, just taking your calls and questions all throughout the show. We're going to get back to the phone lines right now. Got John calling in from Illinois. Hey, John, I hear you had a little over-application of fertilizer issue.
Yeah, it was a big oops, I guess.
Well, it's happened to the best of us, so tell us about the situation.
Well, it's the first time I used a fertilizer buggy in about 30 years, so... Okay. I thought I was told everything was set to go, and I was my aim was to put 75 pounds of AMS,
yep,
and 5 pounds of solubor. So I'm getting 15 pounds of actual sulfur and a half a pound of boron.
Okay.
And this is right after we planted it, and I actually put on about, I'm guessing, I haven't did the acres yet, but between 310 and 350 pounds of AMS.
Okay.
And about 20 pounds of boron, which is, or 25 pounds of boron. So actual boron, maybe 2 to 2.5.
Okay.
And it kind of looks like it kind of snowed up on top.
Okay.
Of the ground. So I'm curious, is that too toxic for the boron? Am I going to get problems? We did have about 0.5 inch of rain, 0.6 of rain on it just after I applied it.
Okay. So, all right.
That's kind of the situation.
All right. I got two questions for you, and I'm not sure if you're going to be able to answer these because I don't know if you're going to remember exactly what your soil test would say, but do you have any idea what your cation exchange capacity number would be and what your calcium level would be in your soil?
Yeah. The CECs are between 18 and 22.
Okay.
And the base fat would probably be between 65 and 70.
Do you know how many...
And organic matter is about 3% organic matter.
Okay, that's good. Do you know how many parts per million or pounds per acre of calcium you have? Does it happen to say that?
No, I do have.
Okay, and here's the reason why I'm asking that. I can already predict you're going to be just fine, and here's why. Your cation exchange capacity is around 20, so it's fairly heavy. So the odds are extremely high that your calcium levels are at least 2 or 3 or maybe even 4,000 parts per million. For safety of boron in the soil, the number one factor we're typically looking at is take your calcium number in parts per million and simply divide that by 1,000. So let's just say, for example, even on the low side, let's just say it was 2,000, okay? And I'm almost positive it'll be higher than that if you look at your soil test. 2,000 divided by 1,000 is 2. So 2 parts per million, okay? If we convert that to pounds per acre, that would mean 4 pounds per acre. Do you have any idea how high your boron levels are right now? I'm going to guess not super high, which is why you're applying it, right?
No. Yeah, it's about 0.5, 0.7.
Yeah, okay.
PPM.
All right, so let's just say it was 0.5 part per million. That's 1 pound. And I just said you could literally have 4 pounds in your soil and you'd have no problem. And that's, I think, unbelievably conservative. I'm going to guess you'd be able to have 6 or 8 pounds in your soil. So you just applied 2 to 2.5. That's less than the 3. Okay, so let me back up. I said you could have 4 pounds in your soil at a bare minimum. I think it's higher. You've already got 1 pound out there. That means you could apply 3, most likely, safely. So I'm not going to guarantee that it's going to be fine, but if this happened to me on my farm, I'd go, oh, no, that's fine. Everything's going to be okay. In fact, we've done a lot higher levels than that. We're doing to tell you one of the things we're going to do for some training with some agronomists this summer, we're going to put out some crazy high levels of boron, and I don't remember exactly what it was off the top of my head, but I'm going to say 10, 20, 30 pounds of actual, something like that. I mean, just way off the charts, over the top. We've done some stuff like that before and haven't had problems. So I know people talk about this boron toxicity and it scares a lot of people, but it's very rare when we actually see that happen out in the field. So I think you're going to be fine. But I guess my last question is, was this banded or was this broadcast?
Broadcast.
Okay.
And planted on 30-inch rows.
Yep. Perfect. I don't think you're going to have any issue.
Okay. Yeah, I planted about 125,000 too, so I just didn't know if that's going to affect. Since I did not work it in, I think I'm better having it on top than if I had it worked in before planting.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to know. So I don't think I'd worry about it too much. And even if it was, I think where you were going with this is it might only affect certain plants and you got a little bit of cushion there. If you lost a few, it's not the end of the world. So no, I think it's going to be okay though. So I think, John, you can sleep at night now and I won't get too worried. I think it'll be fine. You can certainly call us back and let us know how it turns out, but I'll bet it'll be just fine. In fact, let me say this. It's possible. Now, I'm not saying that's likely, but it's possible that that extra sulfur and boron could actually help your yield. We find that in many of our crops that we're raising, corn, either for grain or for silage, and by the way, for silage, it seems like the boron's even more important. But anyway, for soybeans as well, that higher boron levels in the soil have absolutely translated to higher yields. So you never know. I'll tell you this too. Sometimes we've had these, what we call mistakes that happen to us on the farm, and we go, you know, I know that was a mistake, but let's do that again, or at least try it again, because it actually turned out okay. So anyway, I'm hoping for the best for you. I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. So what I was doing, I just did like a, I was going to do an 18 acre strip through the field out of 80 acres just to see what happens. I typically put on about 13 actual pounds of elemental sulfur in the fall. So I already had 13 pounds out there, but I was just going to try to see if I could bump some more extra yield on you know, some more sulfur on there.
And you have the right idea too. Yeah, and you have the right idea too, doing like a strip. I mean, a lot of times we'll do two or three strips just to see, do we see any difference here? Is it worth the money? Because, you know, it doesn't cost that much to do some little experiments like that. And from time to time you go, oh, wow, I stumbled upon something here that's great. So, yeah, I mean, it might turn out great. I'll bet you this, that had you done it in corn, you might have seen more yield gain or profitability gain. And then there would probably be enough to carry over into the soybeans to leave enough boron for the soybeans. But if I had to pick, I would say I'd want the corn boron level to be just a little bit higher in the soil than the beans. So that's why on our farm, we're kind of flipping it around. We're doing the boron more on the corn, and then there's enough residual left for the beans the following year. It doesn't leach out that quick.
Right. Okay. Great.
All right.
Well, I always appreciate you guys' thoughts and your insights.
You bet. Well, thanks for calling. Have a great day.
Hey, you bet. Yes, thanks.
You bet. We'll see you.
All right, Brian had a question or had a comment or question here on vernalization from Robert. He said, on the southern high plains, we get 1,000 to 1,200 hours of 32 to 45 degree vernalization.
Yep.
Just curious, does South Dakota stay dormant too many hours and not to have vernalization of some varieties of winter wheat? The hard red wheat we plant needs about 750.
No, I mean, we're cold. And so let's put it this way. You can read some articles out there from some of the universities and others who talk about, because this does happen sometimes, we don't get enough moisture, and sometimes our winter wheat doesn't start in the fall. And you go, oh no, we have winter wheat that we're planting in the spring. Well, it's not exactly planting in the spring. It was still out there, and yes, it might not have vernalized because of the cooler temperatures in the fall, but what it needs in order to produce grain, it's got to have some cool-ish temperature. So we are talking 45 degrees and less typically. Well, we have plenty of that in the spring. So, and even if that seed is not out of the ground, the clock is ticking when, I mean, after you get germination from everything I've read. So, I mean, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but technically you could have winter wheat that's just laying there dormant, goes into spring, finally gets moisture, then it actually does have enough cool weather for it to vernalize, even though it was not planted in the fall. You can't do that everywhere, but in a lot of cases, we can skate by here in South Dakota.
Okay. Do we have time for the exact chat question?
No, we don't. Nope.
Okay. Then I got a small one.
We'll catch that next time. Got a question about the John Deere exact shot system, so we'll try to cover that on Monday.
All right. We do get a lot of questions this time of year, and a lot of times it's, man, I am going to be working on this in the next couple of days. Is that enough heads up to send a question? Sure it is. Just email us radio@agphd.com, and we'll tackle your agronomic challenge. We have plenty of agronomic challenges here on seemingly an almost daily basis, which leads to some great discussions, and it's pretty fun. And same thing on the radio show here. We love helping out others in the same boat. Well, thanks for listening to our show today. Please join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio. And now stay tuned for Shark Farmer Radio.